Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you made it through the 15 stanzas. That's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, it's a wonderful hymn. It's full of such rich language. O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? And we are in a time of Lent, and Lent is a time where we should take the time to really consider what Christ has done for our sakes, and now to consider how we spend our time going forward, knowing what he has done. What I mean by that is you know, sometimes when Lutherans talk about the "and now what" part of the Christian life, we know that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that we have been justified in God's sight because of his blood shed for us. And then we say to ourselves, "And now what? And now what?" And sometimes when you get talking about these things, some Lutherans, or you know, just people in general, just get a little uncomfortable because you wind up talking about what it is that we now are on some level expected to do, and that kind of smacks of legalism to some people, but we have to be very careful, right? We begin with the blood of Christ. We begin with what he has done for us before we can ever, ever talk about what we might be able to do with the tremendous help of the Spirit on our side. And why do I say that? Because today we continue on in our look at Psalm 41. We're looking specifically at verse 5 that says, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?" Now, why do I talk about the "and now what"? Well, this life is full of things that we are called to do as Christians, and there's tons of things to be said about what we are to do now as Christians, but I want to talk about something very basic, and that's simply a certain kind of contemplation. The kind of contemplation that I have in mind is the contemplation that we live as fallen people with the fact that someday we will die. That someday, unless Christ comes back before it happens, we will die. And we begin Lent with Ash Wednesday, and the remembrance that we should keep in mind that we should remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall, and to dust we shall return. There's something that I think we should keep in mind more often, is that we are going to die someday. And some people might tell me, "You're a young guy. Why are you thinking about death? Right? Why are you worried about this?" And it's not that I'm worried. I'm not. That's the joy of being a Christian. I don't have to be worried about these things. I don't have to have the anxiety that the rest of the world has about these things. I don't have to have the fear of the world, because Christ has overcome the world for me and for you and for all who trust in him, right? It's one of those things, I think I've said this before, but, pastors sometimes get on their old saws, you know, and they say things over and over again. And not, this is one thing I might keep saying over and over again, that one time I was doing some graduate work on confirmation and catechesis, and I talked to this one pastor, and I said, "What's your main objective in teaching kids confirmation? What's the one thing you focus on above all else?" And he thought for just a second. You could tell that this was one of his saws that he had, and now it's one of mine. that when I asked him what was the main focus of confirmation for the kids that you were teaching, and he said, well, we're preparing them to die someday. We're preparing these kids to die. And it struck me, and I understood what he meant, but to someone who's not a Christian, that sounds extremely morbid. It sounds very dark. But for Christians, we see death and we say, yeah, that's still pretty scary, but that's only because sin clings to me in the flesh right now. That's sin. That's the old Adam. That's the old sinful flesh that's afraid of death that I struggle with. But the new man, who is Christ, that now dwells in me because of holy baptism, that new man looks at death and says, it's just the beginning of the new life that has been won for you by the death and the life of Christ. And see, this is one of those things that Satan doesn't want people to know, and so he has the train conductor blow the train whistle as they're going by the church right now. But that's okay. We have a sound system, so I can be a little bit louder. It's something that we should know, right? Because in this world, in this life, as a Christian, we are going to have people who, at the very least, don't like us. And at the very worst, hate us. But it's not because they hate us as people or our personalities or whatever. It's because, and this is something we don't like to talk about very often, but we have to address this because the world is getting more hostile. The people that would hate us don't hate us per se. They really hate God. And if we are Christians, and there's a former professor at one of the Concordias who likes to say when he says Christians, he says Christians. He emphasizes the Christ in Christians, that we are small Christs to the world. We reflect the light of Jesus to other people. But as St. John says in his gospel, that the light has shone into the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. The darkness cannot conquer it, right? They don't quite get it. And in fact, the darkness hates the light. So, when we look at Psalm 41, verse 5, my enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? This is something that Saint David, King David, was very familiar with. He had a lot of enemies. I mean, probably one of the chief was King Saul, right? Ever since David was chosen to be the new king, the old King Saul was on him day and night all the time trying to kill him. Not only that, he fought with the Philistines, and at one point in time, King David had to fight his very own son, who tried to usurp him and take the crown for himself. So King David is not unfamiliar with people who hate him, who want to see him dead. And so what could David say when the enemies say, when will he die? Well, his answer can actually be kind of flippant, right? He can say, when will I die? Whenever God decides. Whenever God wants it. Until then, I'm not going to worry about it, right? I'm not going to be concerned about it. And then the next question, when will my name perish? Never. My name will never perish. And it's not just because David is overconfident. It's because God told him, through the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 7, amongst a lot of things, the Lord said to tell David, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. That throne would be fulfilled. The kingdom that God spoke of would be fulfilled in David's son, eventually the great-umpteenth great-grandson, who would be Jesus Christ, that he would be the Lord to sit on the throne forever. And so in Psalm 41, verse 5, as we've been saying throughout this whole series, not only is it about King David, but it's also about Jesus. And Jesus had his enemies, did he not? He had his enemies, and he still has his enemies. Chief among the enemies that Christ has is Satan himself and death. And during his time on earth, he had men who conspired against him and who eventually killed him. Jesus knows what it's like to have people who hate him. In fact, can you imagine what it would be like to be Jesus? God himself made flesh, discerning the thoughts and the intents of people's hearts that are all around him. And the natural state of man, now that they are fallen into sin, is not to love God, but to hate him. That all around him, he saw people who hated him deeply and more deeper than they could ever possibly know. Imagine that. Christ knows what it means to have people who hate him. And in fact, because we know that the Psalms are not only about whoever has written the psalm, they are also proclaiming Christ. They also speak about us. Because we who are now baptized into Christ are one with him in a way that we can only just scratch the surface on. But this is about us too. And actually, if you think that you don't have people who want to see your demise, well, you better think again. I mean, the small catechism even says that there are those who would seek your destruction. That is the unholy trinity of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. Your sinful flesh, the very flesh that you have upon you, your sinful nature even wants to see your downfall. That's why we have this struggle with sin all the time. It sees what the world has to say and says, I want more of that. And sees what God has to say and says, I could really pass on that, to be honest with you. So that's our struggle. We have the enemies that are constantly assailing us and always asking, when will they die and when will their name perish? But that's why I started this with talking about death. Because for Christians, death is a joy. In fact, you're seeing more of a resurgence amongst particularly young people who are either coming back or having their first encounters with Christianity. And I'm talking like Christianity that really wants to plumb the depths, not anything that's really shallow. You're seeing a lot of young people who are actually refreshed by the way that the Bible talks in terms of death and life and salvation and holiness and grace and mercy and peace. You see a lot of it because the world is terrified of death. The world is terrified of getting older or not being loved or not being admired or not being respected or whatever it is that the world would fear, love, and trust above God. Right? So for us as Christians, when we have the security of salvation, when we know that our life is secured in Christ, we might look a little flippant when we have someone say, when are they just going to drop dead? And you can say, soon enough. And even smile and laugh about it. Soon enough. I'm not going to worry about it, right? That's why if you see in the bulletin today, the sermon, the main theme is soon and soon and never, right? That if there are those who hate us out there saying these things, when will they die? Soon enough, whenever God wants, and that's just fine. And when will my name perish? Never. And it's not because it's my name, but it's because of the name that has been placed on me in holy baptism. It's because of the triune name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that I have been washed with and covered with and cleansed with and sanctified with. That is the name that will not perish. And because of that name, and because of the name that is above every name, namely Jesus Christ, because of his name, my name is now written in the book of life. That when the last day comes and the roll is called, my name will be on it. Not because I'm so special or because you're so special, but because of what Christ has done for us. But because of what Christ has done in shedding his blood, conquering sin, death, and the power of Satan for you. So that you can be assured that no matter what you face in this world, no matter who may come to you and say, I wish you would just drop dead, you can just smile and say, soon enough. Soon enough, and thanks be to God, because then I will have no more pain, no more fear, no more sorrow. It's not that I hasten to that day, but I'm not afraid of it. It's in God's hands. He knows what he's doing. In fact, I like to think that God is up there, or actually, he's everywhere, right? He is everywhere, and he is looking directly at each one of you and saying, and just saying, now, and now, and now, when your heart is beating, he knows, and he makes it keep going. He makes you keep breathing. He has your life in his hand. He is the creator of all things. He is the redeemer of all men. He is the sanctifier of all. He knows what he's doing. Trust in him. Take heart. For those who trust in Christ, those who have been washed clean in the name of the triune God, your name is written in that book of life. All you who trust in Christ for salvation. And though you are in the midst of death, you live. Thanks be to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.